such a spirit, it seems like they can't tell the truth. And even when you, I've seen people like this. I mean, when you're talking to them sometime and you're telling them about what they just lied about, oh, no, no, I didn't say that. A spirit of lying will just deceive you into the place where you don't even realize what you're doing. Well, it can be the same way with fear. There's some things that we can be scared of, afraid of. You know, we can be afraid of a snake or something and run from it. And some of those things, you know, are very, very healthy, obviously, and natural. But there can be a spirit of fear upon us that we're afraid to do almost anything. We're afraid to get into a crowd. And then we're afraid to get out of the house. And we're afraid to be alone, afraid of the dark. All kinds of things. Afraid of elevators. You've heard me mention before, Kenneth Copeland, one of his greatest fears was crossing high bridges. All kinds of crazy stuff. A spirit of fear can get in and keep us away from God. Keep us away from the presence of the Lord, if we allow it. But when we come to Him and cast all our fears before the Lord and enjoy His presence, then everything else will be met. You know, we sing a song talks about His presence. In His presence, we sing it, it goes, in His presence we are undone. I'd love to change that around, say, in His presence, we are all done. And what I mean by that, when we come into His presence, when God envelopes you with His presence, you know there's nothing that you can do in order to enhance this situation. Because God has come. You are all done doing everything that you could possibly do, even when it comes to praying. When it comes to His presence so envelopes you that there's nothing else left to be done. I just so enjoy that. It's so wonderful. In His presence, all of the works of the flesh are useless. In His presence, the Bible says, is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In His presence means everything to us, and everything He has is available to us in His presence. Glory to God. Whatever you need, you remember that when God came to Moses, and Moses was about to go in to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and Moses said, well, who will I say sent me? And God said, tell them, I am sent me. He named Himself. He said, I am. Tell them, I am sent me. I heard one fellow say, you know, I am what? Well, I am everything you need me to be. No matter what it is that you're dealing with today, God is everything you need Him to be. And you know, if you need Him as your healer, He's your healer. He said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. If you need finances, He's your financier. He said, Jesus became poor that we might become rich. God has all the answers of every situation that we need today. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. But all the works of the flesh must be done away with when we come into the presence of God. In Psalms 22:4, it says, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted in you and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. So one of the areas of being rid of shame is that we must trust God. Faith must be activated. There must be a trust level in God. We have to work at trusting God if we are going to get totally rid of shame. Because, you know, if I don't trust God, then some of the things that I've done in the past, the enemy can remind me of them and bring them in there and kind of begin playing a tape over in my mind and cause shame to come. If I don't trust that even though God knows what I've done, I know the blood of Jesus Christ, He said, would cleanse me from all that. Trust in God, trusting that He has taken care of that. Trust in God is crucial when it comes to being rid of shame. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:29. It says, no flesh shall glory in His presence. When the presence of God envelopes us, it seems to me that every attitude of wanting to be somebody just kind of runs to hide. When the presence of God comes, the wrong attitudes seem to run and hide. Even that if you think you can do something good, that seems to just run and hide. Because you lay bare before God everything, all that you are, and you enjoy His presence, and you realize that there's nothing that you can do that would equal with the presence of God. All you want to do is be open to Him and keep yourself in a place where there is nothing between you and Him. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely. I want to, this illustration is coming to my mind. I'm going to share it. I believe it's the most intimate relationship that two human beings can have, and that is a relationship in marriage. When two people come together and the act of marriage, the sexual act of marriage, when you lie together in total nakedness, and you're not ashamed, that is an example, a type of how you and I come before God. We are totally naked before Him. He knows everything about us inside out. And the nakedness of our physical body is a very minor thing. But the nakedness of our soul, the nakedness of our spirit is presented to Him. And He looks at us. And He's there. And He has paid the price that we can walk before Him totally cleansed, spirit, soul, and body. Where you can have intimacy with Him. But when you have something that you're hiding, something that you know that He doesn't approve of, the intimacy is not quite the same. It's a little different. And He knows it. And so we come before Him, we lay ourselves bare. God, cleanse me. David said, search me, know my heart within. See if there be any wicked way in me. Why did he want to see if there was a wicked way in him? Well, so he could do something about it. And that's what my cry is. My prayer is, Lord, is there something in me that's not pleasing to you right now? Reveal it to me, Lord. If I can't see it, show it to me, Lord. Because if you'll show it to me, I'll do something about it. I'll pray and believe that it'll be gone. It'll be taken care of. And I'll walk before you with purity and holiness. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure, His glory, His presence in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us, the Apostle Paul speaks about. You and I are carriers of the presence of God. Sometimes it manifests more than others. But you and I, it comes from within. The presence and the glory of the Lord has been deposited in us when we ask Jesus Christ to come in and save us. To come in and cause us to become brand new. Now think about this for a minute. God made you brand new. The day I got down on my knees by my bedside and I said, Jesus, I don't know if this is real. I don't know if you're real. But if you're real, come in and change my life. I don't want to die and go to hell. And He came into my life and He made me brand new. And I want you to know that when God makes something brand new, He does it right. Amen. He doesn't have to come back. There's no recalls to the factory. He does it right. He makes us brand new. He gives us, Peter tells us that all things have been granted unto us that we might live a life of godliness unto the Lord. We have it. It's available to us. That's because the glory of God is within us. And we can rejoice in Him. Now Psalms 16:11 says, I will show you, I'll make known to you the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's a path that we can get on to enjoy the presence of God. There's a path that you and I can get on to walk with the presence of God. A path of obedience, a path of sensitivity to the Spirit, a path of being diligent to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all the things that we need will be added unto us. Now, as the people of God, we are so blessed. We're tremendously blessed. We have everything we need. Everything is available to us. But I want to just reiterate something I said last week. And that is the blessing and provision and care and plans and purposes of God do not automatically always just fall upon us. No more than when you turn 16 years old in this country, you have a right to apply for a driver's license. But nothing's going to happen unless you go and take that driver's test and make the application and go through the process of learning how to drive a vehicle. Nothing's going to happen. But yet, every individual has that right. And it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. You and I have a right to pursue God. You and I have a right to the presence of God. But unless we do something about it, unless we act out in the pursuit of His presence, we will quite often never get to enjoy the presence of God unless we get the overflow from somebody else's pursuit. And that's not really wrong if you know, if we find ourselves in a difficult place to pursue God and we don't know anything about it. It can be imparted to us. The environment can be changed in such a way that the blessing and anointing and power of God we can sense in our midst. But the pursuit of God is absolutely crucial. Now, I want us to ask ourselves today, are we running toward God? Are we running toward His presence? In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I love the scripture. We're exhorted to look on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. He says He endured the cross because of the joy that was set before Him. He endured all what He did on earth because of the joy. Think about this for a moment. Jesus is here on earth. He came from heaven. He was in the presence of the Father. And He knows He was going back to the presence of the Father. So He came and He did what He had to do on the earth, taking the price and penalty for our sin, sickness, disease, and all the rest of it, paying for all that price. And then He endured this for the joy. For the joy that was His on the other side. You could put it this way. For the joy of where He was going to. Because He was going to the throne of God. He was going to the presence of God. He was looking forward to be back in the presence, the full presence of God again. And He rejoiced in that. He was willing to go through anything on earth to get back to the presence of God. God help us, Lord. To be a people who desiring to do anything we need to do in order to get into the presence of God. Glory to Jesus. I want the worship team to come back. I want to just worship just a little bit more this morning before we go, because I want us to practice the presence of God a little bit. I want us to, you know, if you have a desire for the presence of God, then we want to take a few minutes and just say, Lord, as we worship You in song, just fill us right now while we're here in this place. Rather than just hear about it, let's be determined to experience His presence. Jude 1:24 says, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. The presence of His glory, in His presence there is exceeding joy. There's awesome joy in the presence of God. And God wants us to walk in that fullness. Now, if we haven't learned to be desirous of the presence of God, just ask Him. God, give me the desire. Give me the desire for Your presence. Give me the desire so that I will know, that I'll experience Your presence. Because by faith we can know that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. We're not suggesting that. But I'm talking about a manifest presence of the glory of God that the church is about to enter into if we will seek Him with all our heart. The scripture says, you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. That last song we sung in the worship time, Janice, you were leading that. That one, that by Hill Songs, I think that you...
May my prayer like incense rise before You. The lifting of my hands a sacrifice. Oh Lord Jesus, turn Your eyes upon me. For I know there is mercy in Your sight. Your statutes are my heritage forever. My heart is set on keeping Your decrees. Please still my anxious urge toward rebellion. Let love keep my will upon its knees.